KSO show on a Thursday for you. Mason and Drew ready to give you a little bit of a recruiting update, even though it's not what's this guy doing, what's that guy doing. This is going to be about this time of the year where the final rankings are starting to come out. So we're starting to get the definitive, this is where your class actually finished up as a ranking. These are what your players most accurately are valued and assessed as, and we'll get into that because On3, obviously our parent company, they released their final rankings today, and there were some interesting things in there regarding K-State. Gave K-State some, you know, bumps in other parts in the industry rankings and everything. But we'll do a show on that at a later point once we know that everybody has officially done their final ones. I think we know that three of the four have done them. I'll let you guys decide which one is the fourth that nobody knows. That's, I mean, it's like whose line over there. let's before we get into all that, though, remind the good people out there about the 2025 Aer Lingus College Football Classic and that K-State getting ready to go overseas to face Iowa State in Ireland. So if you're not excited for a game against Iowa State, which you should be, this one's taking place in Ireland, and it's to kick off the 2025 season in the Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland on August 23rd of 2025. This is your chance to cheer on the Cats as they take on Big 12 rival Iowa State on international turf and make history. Visit cats2ireland.com for information on official travel, hospitality, and airfare packages. That's cats, the number two, ireland.com. Also want to remind you that, by the time you're seeing this, it's probably going to be past it. But today, Thursday, January 30th at 5 p.m., that was the presale window that was exclusively available to Ahern Fund members for single game tickets for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. But don't worry, if you weren't involved in that wave of single game tickets, you are going to have the opportunity because the remaining tickets are going to go on sale online only to the public starting this Monday at 5 p.m. February 3rd through the K-State Athletics ticket office. Phone and in-person orders will be available starting at 8:30 a.m. on the following day, Tuesday, February 4th. If you want more on that, you're just looking for that one ticket for yourself or some others going with you, visit kstatesports.com to learn more. So that is what we have for you on the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. We will see Iowa State this weekend. It will be on the football field, but or not on the football field. It'll be basketball, but we will be there. We'll have the Irish camaraderie going.
We got a little our fun fact today again. You know, we kind of peaked a little early on some of these really fun ones. Today's is the Wild Atlantic Way is a 2,500 kilometer, which I don't know how long that actually is in like miles. Coastal route is the longest defined coastal driving route in the world, and it stretches from County Donegal in the north to County Cork in the south.
Okay. All right. So
again, I don't really know how kilometer conversions work. That's going to be something I'm really
say it again. Struggle
with. 2,500 kilometers.
Okay. That is roughly 1,500 miles, a little more than 1,500 miles. Is what that ends up turning out to. So I'm trying to think of in terms of what we experience here in the U.S., what would that distance be? Do you think you can, off the top of your head, just roughly throw out somewhere that you think is 1,500 miles from Manhattan?
Okay, so it would probably be somewhere in Florida because me and my wife's apartment to her parents' house in Georgia is like 964 miles. Okay. So probably somewhere in Florida, I'd say.
You want to throw out a town?
No. Geography has never been a big strength of mine.
All right, we'll throw out Orlando. Let's see, directions here. The starting point is Manhattan. It's loading. Great. Close, but not quite. That is just under 1,400 miles. So I think if we're looking to get a little bit deeper into Florida, let's try this. Let's try Boca Raton. That seems like that might get us there. Might be a little more. Oh, there you go, 1,540. So that's still just shy of this road that you're telling us about in Ireland. But basically, if you went Manhattan to Boca Raton, that's what you got. That, and with the way it's set up here, that's about a 22.5 hour drive to go Manhattan to Boca. So I don't know what it looks like in Ireland, but I guess if you got a lot of free time and many days over in Ireland, give it a try and let them know that Drew Galloway told you to hit the road. So I like that one. I that's interesting. It's good to know. And then we can get something that kind of compares to everything that's going on. All right, let's dive into what we're really here for, what everybody really cares about. That is the fact that On3 released their final rankings of the 2025 class today. And K-State, obviously, a lot of interest in what was going to happen because you wanted to see how does On3 value Lincoln Cure compared to 24/7, who is the highest on Lincoln Cure. He has five-star status with 24/7, the number 30 player in the country, according to them. Not necessarily the same value with On3. They have him as number 51 in the country, the third tight end in the country. So it's a very competitive year for tight ends. And then the number two player in the state of Kansas, because there is one industry five-star in the state this year. So Lincoln Cure had that five-star industry status for a while. It was hanging on. And then about midway through football season, it dropped off. And it's not really anything that he did. I think people that evaluate this might be higher on Lincoln Cure now than they've been, but there's just been so much movement elsewhere and just the way the final rankings worked out. So disappointing, I would say. Do you agree with how this works out for Lincoln Cure?
I mean, probably not, because he's probably closer to a five-star even than being number 51. It gets tricky. So for those of you that don't know how the recruiting rankings work, at first there is kind of like a select number of five stars, and then that list keeps getting a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller and a little bit smaller, and eventually ends at 32. Because, you know, for those that don't know, there's 32 first-round NFL picks in a given year. And that's kind of what the five stars are given out to, is the guys that they think are going to be future first round picks. It gets a little bit tricky. And to me, there's not a lot of difference. We talk about how there's not a lot of difference between like the 88s to 85s in the three-star world. There's not a lot of difference between the 26s and the 70s and the four-star world. So kind of a little bit of bad luck there. Bad luck that he's the number 51 player in the country in the On3 rankings and is the number three player at his position. Yeah. Bad luck that he is in, again, the number 51 player in the country and is not even the number one player in his own state. So he kind of got a little bit of a bad luck there. It is crazy, and somebody pointed out on the board today, that his ranking and Gus Hawkins' ranking are almost exactly identical in the final On3 rankings. And I think that kind of just shows where K-State is elevating their recruiting. And I think that some of it is you get to see like another guy that is going to have a very minimal high school profile that gets drafted in Jacob Parrish, and another guy like DJ Giddens that people are probably like, K-State probably knows what they're doing. So you should probably up a little bit of these guys, and we'll get into that a little bit more later. But I think that with Lincoln Cure, because he even went up from the last ranking, I think he was in the 60s, and now he's at 51.
Yeah, and you look around at this tight end class, it's really good. Andrew Olesh is the only tight end to be a five-star in the On3 rankings. He's number 29, so he just barely snuck in there. And then you have Elias Williams, who's a tight end, that he's just ahead of Lincoln Cure at 46 nationally. Cure is 51, but they have the same rating. Just to highlight also how impressive a feat this was for K-State. And again, we understand that K-State had the in-state benefit. If K-State was not the in-state school for Lincoln Cure, then they're probably not getting him. But here are where the other top 10 tight ends in the country committed to. Penn State, Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas A&M. Basically, nine teams that, as they're constructed right now, the expectation going into next year is we should be competing for a national title. And K-State was able to rise above and snag the third best tight end in that group. And obviously the number 51 player in the country, according to On3. If you're looking for the industry ranking, he's a little higher than that, 42, second tight end, still second in Kansas. So all stuff to keep in mind with him. But it should not take anything away from Lincoln Cure. And I expect him to produce at a high level at K-State.
Yeah. Oh, nothing that Lincoln can do from now until he gets on campus will be something that deters me from him. Like, he is going to be a guy that I think is going to be a special player at K-State.
All right. So we talk about Lincoln Cure, a little bit of disappointment with the fact that he wasn't able to get the tag of being a bigger riser and getting the five-star status, because if you had gotten it from On3, then that industry five-star probably comes back into play. But I was going through the list of just looking at how things had changed for K-State. And the first thing that stood out to me, even beyond what happened with Lincoln Cure, was one of the later ads in the high school class for K-State. Wide receiver Larry Porter IV out of Raytown, Missouri, shot all the way up in the On3 rankings to number 204 in the country, 32nd best wide receiver, number two player in the state of Missouri. It was a big time move for Larry Porter, well deserved, and really just a huge boost to K-State.
Yeah, I freaking love Larry Porter's tape. We talked about it on the signing day show that I said that he's somebody that was ranked in the low three stars. That's probably going to really outplay his ranking. Well, he went from being that, like, I think it was an 88. Which is probably is the second highest three-star rating that you can be after you committed to, now is the number 204 prospect in the country. Again, kind of like that Lincoln kind of talking about what DJ Giddens and Jacob Parrish have done, what Felix Anudike Uzama did. Like, K-State knows what they're doing from a scouting department. So getting to see that with Larry Porter, I think, is really fun. And he's a guy that, I mean, as soon as he got offered by K-State and I started watching him, I was like, how in the heck does this guy only have two Power Four offers? Because he has special skills when the ball is in the air. He can really go and attack it. Really good athlete, because he's a really, really good basketball player too. So kind of getting to see that was one, kind of like Gus Hawkins last year, that was like, holy crap. Like, did you see this? Because I remember last year searching up, yeah, Gus Hawkins in the last On3 rankings, being like, oh, he might have fallen out, like, whatever. And then he ended up 52. Larry Porter was a guy that I thought that he might, like, sneak into, like, four-star status in this last update, but maybe not be in the On300 like a few others that we're going to talk about. But no, yeah, Larry Porter up to number 204. He's already on campus. I think that he's going to be really, really fun to watch, because he has a skill that not a lot of K-State receivers have had in a long time. And I think that we're going to get to see that a little bit more with Jerron Tibbs and Jaron Bradley, of guys that can really just go up and, just for lack of a better term, just go up and box people out and go up and get the jump ball. But that is a special skill that Larry Porter has. And he's really dynamic with the ball in his hands. He's a lot of fun. This is the third On3 four-star receiver that K-State has signed under Matthew Middleton too.
How about that? Look, this is one that you go in and you mentioned, you thought, yeah, he could maybe get one of those last four-star spots. Drew says it like that because there are more than 300 players. There's the On300, which are the On3 rankings, the top 300 players. Other places, 24/7 does the top 24/7, 247. Rivals does 250. ESPN, who knows?
ESPN does 300, I think.
Okay, I was going to say, I think they give them out to everybody that asks for one, because they're always generous graders, maybe. But there are more guys than that that get the four-star status, and we'll talk about a couple of those guys right now that are still four-stars, but not necessarily inside the On300. And we'll start with Brock Heath, because he got his fourth star back from On3. And I know, I think at the time when he lost it, you were kind of confused by that. So he gets back what was rightfully his, and he ends up checking in as one of the higher rated recruits in K-State's 2025 class. Sixth best player in the state of Kansas, by the way, which,
yes,
for Kansas to have this many guys with that talent, like, that's just not a normal thing. It's getting to be more common, But this was a pretty deep class for the state with the high end talent, and then how many guys they could stack up behind that were also four stars, and we'll talk about those later on. But
yeah, I've made a mistake on the last month, Larry Porter, and meant to throw a little bit of shade. Larry Porter is ranked number 204 in the country in the on three rankings. One site has him barely as a three star right now.
Yeah.
But Brock Heath, yeah. Brock Heath was so confusing to me because he was a four star when he originally committed to K-State and didn't really do anything to deter that. And this is where it's tricky because there's not really a good time to do an in-season evaluation, but On3 did their in-season evaluation for everybody in the 2025 class and beyond, like two games into the Kansas high school football season. And Brock Heath went from a 90 grade, which he has now, to an 89. And for me, that's like, he's barely played this season. Like, how can you drop him? Like, that's a guy that, if you're going to do something and look at some of these kids, you have to know that they've only played like two games and you can't drop them because of that. So it's nice to see Brock Heath got that fourth star back, because I thought that his senior tape was even better than his junior tape. And his junior tape was really good and was deserving of that four star grade that he had at the time. But yeah, just kind of a little bit silly to me that he lost the fourth star and went the entire fall without it. And now, in this last ranking, he got it back.
Well, it's better late than never to get it back. The final on three, four star that K-State lands is Noah King, who, again, he's a four star just outside the on 300, which it's basically a tie because on three is using round numbers. So there's like 50 91s that are in the on 300. So I don't know necessarily how it differentiates there. Noah King is still a very good player in the industry ranking. He is inside the top 300, and we've talked so much about this, but it seems like down the road he can do big things at that spot for K-State.
Yeah, again, recruiting rankings are a little bit silly sometimes because Noah King is the number 268 player in the on-three consensus, is a four-star and a 91 grade in the on-three rankings, but doesn't make the on-300. So that kind of is what it is there. But Noah King, again, I've said it a lot of times, I really like Noah King, but I think that he's going to be a guy that he is a four-star because of what he can be. I know that it says corner, he's going to be a safety at K-State. His grade is a lot more because he has freak tools that if he gets it together and it really clicks, he will be like a four-star talent on the field. But will probably take a little bit of time while he's here. And that's where it's also good that he's already on campus and here early and already enrolled and going through winter workouts, and we'll go through the spring practices and we'll kind of get up to speed that way. But he's really, really raw. But I think that he's somebody that can really, really take off.
Yeah. In terms of the rest of the class for K-State and any bumps that you noticed, what stood out to you with some guys that came in that because we talked so much about this guy, he's a lower three-star right now. Watch that ranking. He's going to be a riser. Or did anybody take maybe some drops that you didn't expect?
Yeah, so there was one guy that rose and then one that fell that kind of caught my eye. Darian Whitaker ended up going from, I think he was an 87 grade to now he's an 89. So he was just on that clip of becoming a four-star guy. A guy that initially wasn't going to enroll early but is already in Manhattan. So again, you get these guys on campus early, you get them enrolled and get them in winter workouts and everything. It's a lot of fun to kind of see where he goes, because he's a guy that I legitimately have no idea what position Darian Whitaker is going to be, but he needs to be on the field somewhere because he's so athletic for his size that he could be a linebacker, he could be a defensive end. One guy that fell, and this one, there are times where I'm okay with guys dropping a little bit in ranking because, you know, it just happens. But Dominic Mitchell was a guy that went from an 84 before his senior season started to then, or an 85, I think, to then when On3 did their in-season recruiting bump and ratings bump, that I talked about when Brock Heath fell. Dominic Mitchell goes from that 84, 85 to an 89 and then falls to an 88 today. So again, it's like, what did you see when he rose and like what made him fall? Some of this is so fickle, which is why it's just tough to be like, okay, what's the difference between an 89 and an 88 when halfway through his football season, because Arizona starts earlier than Kansas, he got bumped up and then got bumped back down. So yeah. I don't know. It's just something that like, eventually I would like to have like Charles Power come on the show and kind of talk about some of these guys about like what makes them fall, what makes them go up more. But it's something that's from the outside that is kind of silly to me to have people fall this late when they haven't played a high school football game in some cases like 3 months.
Yeah, no, we should definitely line up getting Chucky P on the show. I'm trying to make sure my daughter doesn't choke on Cheerios right now. She's decided that she's, you know, needed to lay down. So let's not do that down there. All right. Final thing to get to here then. Here's a look at the top 10 in the state of Kansas for the class of 2025. Andrew Babalola tops in at number one, going to Michigan, and five-star status there for him. Lincoln Cure at number two, Desaun Brame to Tennessee, another tight end. Lincoln Cure, third-rated tight end. Desaun Brame, fourth-rated tight end. He will go to Tennessee. Jaden Woods, it was Penn State. He was kind of the wild card that came into this thing when he ended up flipping to Florida out of nowhere. And then Dawson Merritt to Nebraska, four-star. Then the final four-star, Brock Heath, again, K-State. Juju Marks, who was committed to KU for some time, ended up flipping to Nebraska. Keaton Jones from Coffeyville ends up at Missouri. Martell Jackson ends up as a top 10 player in the state of Kansas, the Derby defensive back. And then Bryson Hayes, he gets the final spot there at number 10, a receiver from Mays going to play at KU. He flipped from Nebraska to KU. So Nebraska and KU kind of swapped recruits there from the Sunflower State.
Had a little Sunflower State trade. This class in 2025, I think, is better than the 2026 class. I just think that there's a lot more depth in this 2025 class. I like the 26 class as well, but I think that the 25 class just has so much at the top that I don't think that any class will be able to top that, including the 23 class. I mean, we went back and we've looked at the 23 class in Kansas. But the 25 class is going to end up with a five-star, a near five-star, another near five-star, and Desaun Brame, and then six four-stars. So it'll be close when it's all said and done. But on paper, I think that this is probably the best class in the state of Kansas, at least in a really long time.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask, is where you would kind of stack it up. To go back and look, just for reference, the top 10 in 2023 in Kansas, Avery Johnson was number one, and he topped out at 208 nationally. Samuel Same from Derby went to Iowa State. He was number two in the on three rankings, not the industry, but on three. He was 214. Jordan Allen, a four-star, he was number three in the state. Calvin Clements ended up at KU. He was a four-star as well. So you get the same amount of four stars in this class, because then John Randall, who went to Utah, ended up in the portal now and isn't playing running back anymore, was there. And then Dylan Edwards was the final four star out of Derby. The rest of the class, Joe Otting ended up at Notre Dame. And then Adam Parks was number eight in the class. Andre Davis was nine and Jaden Hamm was 10. So I know we talk so much about the talent is getting better in the state. It feels like you're getting more and more starting to crank out that can play at the Power Four level, can be difference makers. And obviously these recruitments are becoming even more national. But it does seem like things topped out with this class this year, at least, you know, up to this current point. Who knows what we'll see a few years down the road. Is there anything in the pipeline? I mean, you don't think 2026 is like this, obviously, but early indications on anything that might be coming after that could rival this talent that we've seen in the state?
27 could be pretty good again. And it's not like the 26 class is obviously like bad class or anything. It's just this class on paper is better than the 23 class. If you look at just where they're all ranked, I just don't know if we're going to see that in a class in a really long time. Cause I mean, this class ends up with three guys in the top 100 and almost a fourth with Jaden Woods, where I don't think that the 26 class will get there. And we know that the 23 class didn't, because, well, part of the reason was that Avery was so low, but you know, what are you going to do there?
Yeah, that really is crazy to look back that he ended up 208 in the on three rankings. He was 104th in the industry rankings that year, but that still seems crazy to think about, especially with as many people like nationally were really high on him too that talked about it.
No, it is legitimately wild that in 2023 we all talked, and I was one of them that said that like Avery was one of the best recruits K-State has ever had, and in the next two classes they've gotten guys that are ranked higher than Avery was.
Yeah, if you if you go and look at how it kind of shakes down. Well, and here's what's crazy about it too, is that in the on three rankings, Gus Hawkins was a 96 was his rating. Avery was a 92 for reference, but you get Gus Hawkins, it's a 96. And then this year, obviously we talk about some guys that have come in and made the jump. You get Lincoln Cure as well with the 96 tag. It's impressive. And it's really, at the end of the day, all of it is a big testament to what Chris Klieman's been able to do since coming to K-State. And I know everybody worried about, the small-time guy coming from North Dakota State, all that. He's proving that he can translate that into recruiting at this level, and really recruiting at a level that is higher than what K-State was accustomed to.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly correct. Like, this next 2026 class for K-State is going to be on the smaller side. But I think that it'll end up, again, kind of being similarly ranked to where the 2024 class was, which was another small class that K-State still ended up ranked 42nd. I also was incorrect. Since signing Avery Johnson, K-State has signed three players higher than Avery in the last two classes, because Larry Porter also higher than where Avery was in the last on-three rankings.
Crazy to think about. But that, you know, that's a good sign for K-State, especially since, you know, we think, hey, Avery was probably underrated. These other guys properly rated for sure. Or maybe they're underrated too. None of them are overrated though. I want you guys to be perfectly understanding of that. K-State's, nobody overrated here.
K-State's blue chip ratio that Bud Elliott puts out is going to be at an all-time high on this next team, because they have Lincoln Cure, they have Gus Hawkins, they have Avery, they have Dylan Edwards, they have Jaden Rowe, was a former four-star. They have Gabe Powers, who's a former four-star. Like, this is going to be the most top 300 players that K-State has ever had on one single roster.
Not a bad thing. Not a bad thing to have talent mixed in with what we think is a pretty good head coach at K-State. So that will do it for us today. That is your look at what has taken place in the final on-three rankings of the year, and now all the focus will be on 2026 with high school recruiting, and then we'll be here the same time next year, probably talking again about what it looked like in the state, what K-State was able to do, as they are once again in pursuit of the top player in the state of Kansas. Obviously, they come up just short this year. Michigan had a step in to break up K-State's two-year run at the top after getting Avery Johnson and Gus Hawkins. But K-State trying to land Ian Premer in the class of 26, the best player in the state of Kansas, and currently number 69 nationally in the class of 2026 when you look at what On3 has put out there right now. So we'll get out of here. That'll do it for us today. Don't know what tomorrow looks like yet. We'll all be hitting the road to Ames together. Sorry, haters. Yes, we will be carpooling, not taking three separate vehicles to Ames, Iowa. But I might drive myself if I get into DY's car and the heat doesn't work still. So he's had two months to figure that out and get it fixed. It needs to be in working order for me tomorrow, or I may just turn around. I might drive back home. Like, you know what? I'm not going to freeze my butt off in the car.
You had to bring that up when Fan and I were just freezing in the back seat.
But I was driving. I needed my wits about me. You know, they didn't want me like my fingers locking up on the steering wheel. It's like, I can't really do much right now. That was, it's a great memory to have. I'm glad we made it through and survived. Really wasn't bad on the way home, but that night you get in there after watching K-State lose, and you're like, oh, is this heat ever going to kick on, do anything?
No.
The answer was no, it was not going to do anything, and that was a cold night. Weather looks a lot better this weekend, at least for those of you staying here in Kansas. I can't speak to Ames, Iowa, but 60s on Saturday and Sunday. You probably don't want to get out to the golf course on Sunday, though, because I'm just trying to make sure that the tee times are clear for myself, even though my wife's not going to let me go. But I can dream.
Hey, 41 degrees in Ames on Saturday.
Okay, so it's not great there.
We won't need the heat blasting because it's like 5 degrees and we left Jack Trice.
Yeah, that's very true. So we'll complain about something, I'm sure, this weekend. Let's hope it's not. Actually, you know what? I would trade complaining about the heat in DY's car if it meant K-State somehow won that game. So, yes, freeze me out, the KSO Mobile, as long as it delivers a win. For Drew Galloway, I'm Mason Voth. Thanks for watching K-State Online. If you want more on what took place in the ranking shakeup with On3 today, you can go find it at On3 and kstateonline.com. Also, plenty of basketball and other football coverage over at KSO right now.